they're good. And so they've had to flex a little bit and reach their tentacles out for non-conference scheduling. This is a really good non-conference matchup in the upstate with two really good passing offenses, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I'm excited to listen. On my way home from soccer. I've got men's soccer tonight with Pittsburgh, as we talked about earlier. This hour of the program brought to you by our friends at Block Haven, BLOCHaven.com. This is a wonderful company. We talked about this many times, that they are not just a bouldering center, not just a climbing wall with four walls around it. This is a full-on experience that you can get at Block Haven. It is right here in the upstate. Again, you go to the website, blockhaven.com. These are, it can be like a part of your workout. It can be a place to take the kids. It can be a place where you just sort of have fun climbing a wall. Over 200 different maps. Every single month they change these. It's not just a novelty workout. It's a sport for exercising, developing strength. They have youth teams that come in here. They also have a neat promotion called College Brawl. It's a college climbing showdown. Clemson, Furman, Brevard, Anderson taken to the walls for glory, pizza, and a sweet-looking shirt. You can rep your school at the College Brawl on Friday, September 19th. You can register by September 16th. Bragging rights included. Go to blockhaven.com/collegebrawl to enter. That's blochaven.com. Great place, great website. Love for you to mention the Roar and get 20% off your first day pass. Ben, we talked about, and you mentioned it in our show prep document today. We were talking about Miami and Florida State winning and what that does to the ACC. The ratings numbers that came out, Ben, were very strong for the conference. And we've said many times before that just because a sporting event, a game, whatever, pulls a big rating doesn't mean it was good. And just because it doesn't pull a rating doesn't mean it was bad. That's not what the conversation is. But you made a point that this stuff matters now. Like, it matters if people are watching you play.
And just as a refresher, the ACC revenue share now takes this into account. It takes your television ratings and really what you are contributing to the network and to the league. It takes that into account in determining your revenue share at the end of the season. So there's an actual dollar translation to rankings now and rating TV ratings. And, you know, this is by no means a conference thing when I say this, but this in week one, the top three games all featured, the top game was Ohio State, Texas. I believe it was the next three featured an ACC team, and that will pay dividends for Miami, Florida State, and Clemson down the road. 10.8 million viewers for Notre Dame, Miami, 10.7 for Florida State, Alabama, and 10.4 for Clemson, LSU. Really, all the game, TCU, North Carolina, I mean, they were the only game in town, but 6.1 million views there. South Carolina, Virginia Tech, 5.4 million. So, I mean, really, really good numbers for everybody. Georgia Tech, Colorado, 3.7.
It helped to have a lot of games in sort of exclusive TV windows where you had big games, they were spread out, and a lot of them were featuring ACC teams. Even on Saturday, it was like there was one, maybe two big game in every broadcast window instead of four. Like this week, it's a little less spread out, so you've got Illinois, Duke, Baylor, SMU, and Virginia, NC State in the same window. Mm-hmm. So you're probably not going to have a game, you know, pulling a big number like that. You know, you've got Michigan, Oklahoma in that primetime window and not an ACC team. So, you know, less eyeballs for BC, Michigan State on NBC or Vandy, Virginia Tech on ACCN.
Yeah, and the Texas and Ohio State was not on an ABC ESPN network. But those that I just gave you, that's why that went on the list. Those were all on ABC or ESPN. Also, you know, we talked about how good the week one slate was this year. 4.0 million viewers on average. No, I'm sorry. 8.6 million average viewers. That is an opening weekend record for ABC. And then it said 4.0 million viewers, best week one ever across ESPN networks. So record viewership on ABC and ESPN this past weekend.
We had that conversation with Bill Conley yesterday. If you missed that, go find it on the podcast. Every hour the show's available via podcast, wherever you get your podcast, and on theroarfm.com. But it is the catch-22 of, like, every single thing that's happening is ruining the game, and yet the ratings are awesome, and the stadiums are full, and the, you know, people are paying the dues, and they're paying for the tickets, and they're doing all this stuff. And so it is the catch-22 of, like, you need to listen to the fans' concerns, but the spending behavior and the viewing behavior has not changed. As a matter of fact, it is more intense now, the ability to watch and go to these games.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the whole Lee Corso stuff probably helped the weekend too. It was a record viewership for College Game Day. Not a surprise there. It peaked at 5.7 million viewers.
Golly. That had to be right before kickoff.
Yeah. But there was probably some carryover, though, into those games right after that.
Oh, yeah. If Southern Miss, Mississippi State was pulling a number, you know what? I won't even say that. Roy Philpott was calling the game. I was fired up, man. Roy got to take the baton from College Game Day on Lee Corso's final show. I was thinking about that. I might get emotional doing that. Like, that was pretty cool that Roy got to do that.
I heard him on Mickey's show this morning, and he said they did not plan any kind of open because they were just going to feed off of whatever happened on game day. They did a great job of that.
It was great. It was super. I would have been nervous. I would have been real nervous to follow that. Roy did a great job. All right, let's get back to our contest here. We got a couple more games to hit. The next one on the list is Illinois Duke. And Mac did say, you know, if this game is slower, it does feel like it favors Illinois. I could see this going a lot of ways. Our contest, I was surprised at this, Ben. Our contest is 7-5 Illinois. I thought Duke as a home underdog would get a little more love than less than half of the station.
You have 11th-ranked Illinois going to Duke, though. I hear you, but think of the level of respect that our contest is showing to Duke, that you're going 7. It's only 7-5. I mean, they are, whether they really are or not. They truly are ranked that this week.
That is real.
It is a fact. They're going, any other year, this is 12-0. Any other year, it's not even in the contest.
Correct. That's right. You know, the reason
I think we're giving Duke a lot of respect, actually.
I don't know. To your point, I'm doing the name bias. I'm doing the stadium bias a little bit. I just have some questions about Illinois. I think Illinois, and honestly, I think Duke, there is a certain level of team that I feel very good about Illinois beating. There is a certain level of team that I feel good about Duke beating. Ben, I think Duke is in Illinois' tier of teams that I feel good about Illinois beating. I'm not sure that Illinois is in the tier of teams that I feel good about Duke beating. And here's why I believe that, okay? If you're a Clemson fan, these numbers, I'm going to just tell you right now, these numbers stink to high heaven for a reason that we all know, but I'm throwing them out there anyway. In the last 3 years, Duke at home has beaten one ranked team. In the last 4 seasons...
Gee, I wonder who that was.
Exactly. That everybody's like, boy, Mike Elko just over here knocking off everybody home. Now, a lot of these games were close. So, like, if the spread is 7, you might take it. But the only ranked team that Duke has beaten since COVID, home, neutral, anywhere, is Clemson. That's it. They're not this giant killer program that's been rushing the field once a year. That's not them. Now, they got close to beating Notre Dame, and they got close to, like, and think about all the games that they got close with the backup quarterbacks that they had when Riley Leonard got hurt a couple years ago. They played like five ranked teams that year. So, like I said, these numbers stink. It's a little bit unfair to be like, go beat a ranked team with Henry Beilin as your quarterback. That's kind of hard. Grayson Loftus, like they were doing their best, but when Riley Leonard went out, they were not capable of beating ranked teams. And so, to me, like I said, I don't fully believe that stat, but I think we, much like we've done with Vandy, I think we can see 9-win Duke and go, whoa, look at Duke beating people, and they just they haven't beaten this type of team very much.
If they were to win this game, Duke is suddenly in the conversation for Charlotte, right? I mean, can you imagine?
You tell me, I'm looking this up right now, you tell me the next time Duke is going to be an underdog, okay? I think there's probably some difference of opinion, but you're saying if they beat Illinois, like if they're good enough to beat Illinois, next week they're at Tulane. Are they going to be an underdog at Tulane at 2-0 after beating Illinois?
If they beat Illinois, no, they will not be an underdog.
I don't think so. NC State at home?
No.
At Syracuse?
No.
At Cal?
No.
Now, that's three road games in six and three out of four, but they can be favored on the road in those games, we think.
You know what? They may not even have to win this game
tomorrow. If it's a field goal game, it's right on the number. They have an open date. Then they play Georgia Tech at home.
They could be an underdog by then.
Depending. Then they have an open date and they go to Clemson.
Will not be a favorite there.
Okay. The first time we know for sure they're not going to be favored in a game is game eight. Yeah. If they win this game, they will be favored potentially in five straight games.
You know what I can't wrap my mind around? That Manny Diaz, who was basically conceived on South Beach, could not win in Miami. And that looked like the perfect fit. Manny Diaz back to Miami. I mean, that was the perfect fit. And he failed. When you look at every place he's coached on his resume, the one that you would have bet there's no chance this works would have been Duke, at least for me.
I thought it was a weird fit when they hired him.
And yet, he's considered a disciplined head coach. Teams with that play with discipline and inside the framework of the offense and the defense, and that blows my mind. I still can't understand how Manny Diaz is the coach at Duke.
Can I ask you this question about Duke?
And making it work.
I mean, Manny Diaz, if you were to describe who Manny Diaz is as a coach, like what the personality and the style of programming, like what would you say is his persona as a coach?
I would say he's a little bit of a renegade defensive dude.
Okay. Defense. Like lives in the film room. Like he's sort of got that thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like a little on the edge, but like that. He doesn't seem like the politician, schmoozer, you know, courting donors. Like, he doesn't give that, okay? He's not giving that vibe. Where's their money coming from? Because I'll tell you what he didn't have at Miami. He didn't have a $4 million quarterback at Miami.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Who are the money people for Duke football?
Of course, I guess you couldn't legally have a $4 million quarterback at Miami, although many think that. Anyway,
be the first. The next four. Well, right now Carson Beck is a $4 million quarterback in Miami. He's the first that it's confirmed.
Right.
With inflation, I'm sure Vinny Testaverde played it for free.
He has convinced. That's a great point, though. He has convinced Duke donors to donate to football.
I mean, they paid Bryce Davis. They paid Bryce Davis off of Clemson's commitment roll. They just paid him. They just stroked the check. I got the same question about Brent Key. Who was given money for NIL at Georgia Tech that they are paying Clemson's commits off the rolls, Tay Harris, who's going to be starting probably in the defensive backfield next week for Georgia Tech, committed to Clemson where you don't play for free, and Georgia Tech is just stroking a check. Where is this money coming from? I know everybody's got rev share now, but $4 million quarterback is like a third of your rev share at Duke, because for sure they're not sacrificing basketball rev share to pay the quarterback. There's no way they're doing that.
Well, you do have a couple of wealthy Duke alum, and by a couple, I mean most of them.
I mean,
so there is that.
I guess so. It's a bit of a bottomless pit there. That's a fair point. All right, let's take a break. And we come back, our final couple games, we got Kansas, Missouri. We got Vandy, Virginia Tech. We got Oklahoma, Michigan to get to. And then we'll get to our OO Bank picks as well. Stay with us. Hour three of the program continues next.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers, a winning experience from start to finish.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator. For a free estimate today, call Central Electrical Services, the full service and warranty dealer for Generac Home Standby Generators at 864-556-8002.
Okay, quiz fans, what's one word to describe Whataburger's new prickly pear raspberry Whatafresher? Is the best word refreshing? Or does the real raspberry make you say tangy? Or perhaps the sweet prickly pear fruit is simply delicious? Actually, the only word to describe it is quenchy, tangy, sweet, delicious. And that may sound like four words, but we used hyphens. Introducing new Whatafreshers from Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Available for a limited time.
Hey everyone, Sam Jones here. The Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles takes Nick Costello and I on an interstation rivalry this week as Daniel High School, home of William Quackenbush, takes on Faxon Childress's J.L. Mann Academy. Join us this Friday night and every Friday night for the rest of the season live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
I can't believe how spotless my floors look after using the Swiffer Power Mop.
No more dragging around a heavy mop and messy bucket. Now I get the same deep clean without all the work. Thanks to the powerful solution and scrubbing pad of the Swiffer Power Mop, dirt and grime don't stand a chance, and I don't break a sweat. Mic drop. I mean, mop drop. Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop. A smarter way to mop. Try it or your money back.
Oh, no.
Ah, that's the sound of someone who's misplaced...
My debit card.
Their debit card.
Where did I leave that thing?
Not at the gas pump, or the checkout counter, or the roof of your car. Now, if he has the Chase mobile app, he can use Card Lock.
Wait, I could just lock my card.
Yep, just a few tippy taps on his phone, and... that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
105.5 and 97.5, we are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Can I do something controversial with the NFL tonight? Can I give you a controversial take? You tell me if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
I'm thinking about taking both Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes lower than their passing yardage totals.
The field in Brazil is usually slick, and footing was an issue last year. That might not be... Is that your thought process there?
That is my thought process. And the Chiefs are always slow cook out of the gate. We're not going to overuse Travis Kelce. And he's like, Kelce's a second half of the season guy. We're going to just let everybody get their feet wet. We know we can win these games, but we're going to be real basic and just let this thing organically grow. And Jim Harbaugh wants to run it with five running backs. He's going to line up with like 10 offensive linemen some play, I think. So
makes sense.
That's my idea. Lower than 247.5 for Mahomes, lower than 234.5 for Herbert. I feel bad because I'm rooting for basically defense and an unfun game, but I'm also trying to win money on Underdog. Download the Underdog app, sign up with our promo code OOB, and you can get $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org. Texter asks, should they start Worthy? I would start Worthy. He could get a rushing touchdown. Now, a rushing touchdown on a jet sweep on that track, you're asking him to cut a couple times, so maybe not. But I think in the opener last year, he had a couple touchdowns, if I remember correctly. All right, let's go back to the contest. Here we got three more. Kansas, Missouri, 6-6 split in the station. This is a massive gap. 5 Missouri in the morning, 5 Kansas in the afternoon. Massive gap between the morning crew and the afternoon crew here.
Why is that? Just luck of the draw?
I think just luck of the draw. I don't really know. I expected to be in the majority with Kansas getting a touchdown here. But a lot of love for Missouri, and it's love for their defense. Because I can't imagine people are looking at the quarterback matchup of Bo Pribula and... Jalen Daniels and going, yeah, I like Mizzou here. And laying a touchdown. Like, I like Mizzou by a touchdown. It's got to be more of a home game, fade Kansas, because of Mizzou's defense type situation here. I like Daniels, and I like the way Kansas is playing. And I think as I said earlier, I think it is a polar opposite start to the year than last year, where it took them a month or more to really even get their sea legs underneath them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I I like Daniels. I do worry about Missouri being able to get pressure on him. He's gonna have to escape pressure in this one from time to time. But I don't know. I look at Missouri offensively, and I'm just not sure if Kansas can make this a little bit of a track meet. I just don't see how Missouri can keep up.
That's my idea. Like, you might be a really good defense, but Daniels is one of those singular players that can score by himself and win a game by himself. And they appear to have an offensive system that's allowing them to do that. And you're right. I mean, think about last year. Think about how much more talent on hand Missouri had last year. In the run game, you had like Luther Burden and Theo Weiss on the outside, and you had Brady Cook throwing the ball, and they were winning games like 20-17 last year. The talent is down across the board at Missouri offensively. And they, like I say, they were not scoring a ton of points a year ago. So if Kansas can get to like 27, like, is Missouri scoring 27 points on Kansas? I don't think so. I think if I had to play,
I think this is where that game is played, around that 27 mark.
Yeah, like if I were giving out like underdog, take some underdogs on the money line, Kansas to me would be at the top of the list of underdogs to take on the money line as a touchdown underdog with the better quarterback in the game. And honestly, like, this is no disrespect to Eli Drinkwitz, who I think is doing a good job, the better coach in the game. In terms of an in-game coach, I want Lance Leopold coaching my football team. I think we forgot about him because Kansas kind of been out of sight, out of mind. Leopold is a wizard. What about Vandy, Virginia Tech?
I got no idea. No clue. I got no clue.
Not a single clue about this one.
I think this is really a pretty even game. It's two of the bottom teams in each league. I am playing this more on a hunch that Kyron Drones has a good game. One thing that did surprise me about last weekend, and we mentioned it earlier in the week, I felt like Virginia Tech was better defensively than we expected them to be. And in week two, you know, if that old adage that you make the biggest improvement between week one and week two is true, then their defense is going to be very good.
Well, and Diego Pavia is a magician.
I love that kid, man.
But you know what? He's not Lenore Sellers. They don't have a single wide receiver like Nick Harbor that you have to account for with multiple people sprinting backwards so he doesn't pass you. They don't have anybody like Dylan Stewart on their defense. Now, they do have Eli Stowers, and they have a decent array of skill positions, but in a lot of ways, South Carolina, even with Pavia, South Carolina is just a tougher study than Vanderbilt is for the guys that you have to account for. Virginia Tech is going to be better capable of bottling them up, and they're playing at home. They're playing in their stadium, in Lane Stadium, where I'm not saying their fans are like jacked up for this game, but they for sure don't want to lose to Vanderbilt twice in a row. And they for sure have got to feel like they hung around with a top 15 team, now ranked 10th in the country, in South Carolina last week. So they should be able to beat Vanderbilt. And, you know, we've talked about this several times, but I'm gonna repeat this, though. We have to be careful not to act like Vandy's going 10-2, okay? Pavia's, like, great, and he's fun, and they went 6-6 last year, and here's what they did offensively down the stretch. This is after the win over Alabama. This is how many points they scored in the rest of their games. 20, 24, 24. That was against Texas. They did almost beat Texas. 17, 7, 17, 23, and then he scored 35 against Georgia Tech in the bowl game. This was if Clemson scored 24 points a game, would we be picking them to beat every single team that comes up or be like flying the flag that this guy's a great – you know what I'm saying? It's almost like because we expect Vandy to go 2-10 and he went 6-6, we're talking about them like they're just going to show up and beat teams. And they lost three straight down the stretch of the regular season, and they were not close in two of the games against South Carolina and Tennessee. Not close. Now, again, Virginia Tech is not great, but I think this is a – I think we need to understand who Vandy is. And there's lots of folks who are riding the vibes with Vandy, and I just think the vibes are – If we're talking about Vandy, the vibes are great. If we're talking about in the realm of college football, the vibes are okay. Your thoughts on that, Ben?
No, nothing more to add. I agree with what you're saying on them.
So that game, that's a one-point spread to Virginia Tech. It's a 7-5 split, Virginia Tech. Sam and Nick took Vandy, and Fax and John and Will took Vandy as well. The Oklahoma 12-0. We mentioned it yesterday. We did not talk about it. You seem as nervous as anybody that I've heard on this station this week about Bryce Underwood potentially blowing this up and ruining all of our lives.
It does make me take Michigan a little more serious in this game now after I have seen him, Underwood, and he felt like he handled week one pretty well. I still like this, though, under 7 points. You know, I don't know if this is a – I'm thinking, Quag, this is either a Michigan win or an Oklahoma win by like 10. Like, okay. I don't think this is a field goal game that goes Oklahoma's way.
Yeah, the play is the under, and I was going to give it out, but it got bet down kind of far, and so it scared me. I think this is a classic, like, first one to 20 wins type game with these two teams. I heard a stat this morning that there are 26 times that Brent Venables has coordinated the defense against a freshman quarterback. He's 21-5 against those teams.
Whew.
And that a lot of those are Clemson games. So you're talking about, like, you know, when Clemson was going to the playoff every year.
Got a little weather update here. Maybe. Okay, I guess we don't have a weather update.
I thought we did. It was for sure. It was sending the signals like we're going to have a weather update there. Didn't want you to miss the riveting Michigan-Oklahoma conversation there. I'm still going to just default to that. Oklahoma didn't run the ball very well against Illinois State. That is factual. I'm not sure they're going to run the ball against Michigan. I don't know that they need to. Brent Venables beat Alabama last year because they were scoring defensive points. They were not moving the ball against Alabama. And they were able to beat them because his defense put Jalen Milroe and put Alabama in a blender. And this is his best defense. He has been building to this. Think about the timeline at Clemson. This would be the 2014 defense.
Mm.
That was just salty as all get out. This was a good defense. Like, year three, Brent Venables' defense was a very, very good defensive football team. That if Deshaun Watson had stayed healthy, they would have been thought of as a much better football team overall. I think Oklahoma's doing that. I don't think people are ready for how dominant Oklahoma's defense is going to be over the course of the season, but I think this game will be the test case to see, can Bryce Underwood do that?
This game is sort of the Oklahoma-Michigan. It's a little bit of their version of Clemson-LSU. I mean, in terms of the hype. This has got to be a big, big game in Norman, Oklahoma tomorrow. And I'm thinking they're up for it this time. I am.
Shrine Moore, Oklahoma alum. So that's a part of this. Also, he starts serving his suspension next week. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that's a factor in the game. I just sort of put it on my list as, like, things looming over this game, you know?
Win one for the Gipper here.
Coach is going on – he's going into exile for 2 weeks. He's going to go live on Elba for 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's win one for Coach Moore.
For the Gipper.
As he gets ready to get a 2-week paid vacation. How will he ever survive? Quag on the other side, the OOB picks are all in.
Oh, they're in. I can't wait to share them.
Rapid fire those.
Yeah, baby. Final segment of the program is up next.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers take on the Troy Trojans in Death Valley, and the best coverage anywhere is right here on The Roar. It starts 6 hours before kickoff at 9:30 with the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Join Grace and Ashby and me for that. Then transition to 12:30 Tiger tailgate show. Facts and Childers and his crew will take you up to kickoff with Don Munson, Tim Beret, and Reggie Merriweather. And then Donald Clark and I will have all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. It's your home for wall-to-wall Clemson football game day coverage. It's a flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are The Roar.
Hey, y'all. Robert Kraft here, owner of Clemson Sock Shop, located inside Newtie Boutique on Pendleton Square. Whether you're looking for funny socks, funky socks, practical socks, or nostalgic socks, we've got you covered. We're a family-owned small business and are sure to carry a sock that will make you and your feet smile. Shop with us Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays until 4 inside Newtie Boutique on Pendleton Square, where it's always buy five, get one free. Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
The way golf was meant to be, a natural, beautiful trip through nature. You'll discover it at Chickasaw Point in Westminster, South Carolina, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Dine in the Overlook Restaurant, open Thursday through Sunday, ChickasawPointGolf.com.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Got a crowd to feed? Big game watch party? Office lunch. Mellow Mushroom Clemson caters any event, big or small. From stone-baked pizzas to wings, salads, hoagies, and more. With gluten-free and vegan options, we have everyone covered. Call ahead or order online. Delivery available at mellowmushroom.com or swing by 1007 Tiger Boulevard and let us bring the flavor. Mellow Mushroom Clemson. Pizza, beer, and vibes that make every event unforgettable. Mellow Mushroom Clemson.
Dreaming of building your dream home on your own land without the hassle of having to draw plans from scratch? Introducing Homesites by Hunter Quinn Homes. From cozy and quaint to spacious and grand, our award-winning floor plans are the perfect starting point for your dream home, allowing you to customize our plans to fit your needs. Our dedicated local team will make the building process a breeze. Don't settle for a one-size-fits-all home. Search Hunter Quinn Homesites online to explore our plans and build a home on your land that's truly yours.
Transmission problems. AAMCO Transmissions of Greenville is the home of the 3-year 100,000-mile warranty. Sleep better, knowing you are covered at 500 shops across the land. Don't take our word for it. Check our reviews. AAMCO of Greenville is located on Malden Road, 100 yards from I-85, off exit 46C. You'd better call Saul today at 864-277-3267 and get the 3-year 100,000-mile warranty from AAMCO of Greenville today.
Bob, you're a Clemson alum just like I am.
That's right, Ginger. I'm glad we struck up a friendship at Everlawn Independent Living.
Gosh, yes. Thank goodness we found Everlawn. Chef-prepared meals, housekeeping, and a fun schedule of activities like cards, movies, and parties. We can even catch a Tigers game or a show at the Brooks Center.
It's a sweet life, Ginger. Comfort, community, and Clemson pride.
I think we both agree. Everlawn Independent Living is where we belong.
Yay, Everlawn. Go Tigers.
Learn more today at everlawnliving.com.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from AMPM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to AMPM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at AMPMFarmsButcheryAndMarket.com.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Last segment of the show, last segment of the week. Looking forward to a great weekend here. Now, it starts tonight. You've got volleyball on campus. If you're local here, at 6 o'clock, you have men's soccer at 7, a big one at Historic Riggs Field, number 10, Pitt versus number 2, number 3, depending on your poll, Clemson. Also have Sam Jones calling high school football here. JL Mann visits Daniel, so you can catch that right here on the Roar. Tomorrow, William Quackenbush, and we're going to say company because he has an entourage now, folks.
We do.
9:30 in Little John. Stop by and see us. We're going to circle back to that in a minute for the Tiger pregame show. Facts and Childers and the Tiger tailgate show at 12:30. Clemson and Troy at 3:30. Fifth quarter show to follow. And then on Sunday, NFL kicked off last night. It kicks off on the station on Sunday. Steelers, Jets at 1 o'clock. 49ers, Seahawks at 4.
I'm looking forward to listening to those now.
Let's do talk about Tiger pregame for a moment.
Okay.
Why do people need to come by there, sir?
Okay, can I say one thing real quick? Because I told you the wrong time. And in my calendar, it's right. But on my what I told you is wrong. Men's soccer is at 6 o'clock tonight. So men's soccer and volleyball both starting at 6 o'clock. Need to correct the record. That was my fault for just saying the wrong time for no reason.
See, I was going to look it up, and I'm like, well, Quark's calling the game, so I could just ask him.
You would think who's calling the game. Yeah, you would think they would just know right off the top of the dome. North Carolina A&T for volleyball. Clemson had beat them in straight sets last night. In the first of two against them this weekend. Speaking of that, we are going to have a couple of volleyball players that are going to join the cast of the Tiger Premium Show. You're going to be hearing them on some pre-recorded stuff, and you are going to be you're going to be seeing them on the Tiger Premium Show. So you should come by for that. You should come by to interact with a couple Clemson athletes. Ashby's going to be there. You should come and meet her and talk to her. Grayson Mann's going to be there. You should come by and see him. You should also come and bring food. We are looking for people. We're gift cards for good dishes. We'd love to talk to you about your favorite tailgating dish inside the Burton Gallery at Little John. And then we also have our Tiger pregame show fan predictions, where we have three player props that you can say higher or lower on. If you get them all and you get closest to the pin on the final score, then you could win a gift card next week. So get excited for that, people. So you should come by. That is an in-person contest. We had some LSU fans participate last week. They were closer to winning than the Clemson fans. I will just go ahead and say that. They were closer than the Clemson fans in their thoughts about how the game was going to go. So we encourage you to come by and see us. It was a fun. I thought it was fun. People had a really good time. Had a lot of nice things to say about the show last week.
And I keep saying I love having it in Little John there in Burton Gallery. You've got TVs. You got the store straight in front of you. You've got air conditioned. You got heat. Air conditioning will be important this weekend, buddy. It's supposed to be a little warm tomorrow. You've got bathrooms. Yeah. You've got concessions. All of that right there. And you can. I know a lot of people. We're caught off guard somewhat by the new construction there at Little John. You can still walk out of the stadium side, the east side of Little John, to get to Death Valley. So, in other words, you can still walk through Burton Gallery. The stairs are open there where the construction is going on.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to find if you're coming in from the stadium side, but you can sort of wind. to the front of the construction.
Right.
And the stairs go right. You'll actually probably see people walking up the stairs and thinking, how did they get there? And just sort of keep following it around. It's kind of convenient how they've done that. Let's go to the OO Bank, shall we? Ben, 8-2 in the OO Bank last week. Your boy 6-4. That means as a show, we took you to 14-6 last week. That's 70%. That is major profit central right there. If you listen to the program,
we'd like that. Hope we can keep that going.
I'll let you go first.
You know, just we've talked about a lot of these already. You got JMU and Louisville tonight. I'm taking Louisville 12.5. I just don't see why this spread's not bigger than it is. Give me Vandy, Virginia Tech over 47.5. I don't really know why, but 40. Again, everything about this game is just kind of a hunch. Duke, Illinois over 47.5. Tulane -9 versus South Alabama. Give me North Carolina 12.5 versus Charlotte. By the way, this game is in Charlotte. It's at Jerry Richardson Stadium, not Bank of America Stadium. Jerry Richardson Stadium that holds 15,000 people. Bill Belichick, first ever road game in college, is in a 15,000 seat stadium. Smaller than Paladin Stadium.
My gosh.
And I bet not as nice as Paladin Stadium.
Probably not. That's true.
A little bit odd there. Arizona State, I'll take Arizona State 6.5 at Mississippi State. SMU, I'll take SMU 2.5 point favorite at home versus Baylor. Florida, South Florida over 56.5. BC, Michigan State under 48.5. And finally, Central Michigan and Pitt. I'll take Pitt minus the 21.5.
That's a pick.
I hope you don't go 10-0, because I am going to fight you on one of these.
All right.
We agree on one.
Yeah, Texas said Louisville is now 15.5. That's even better for me, but I got it at 12.5.
You
so
did.
There you go.
You did. It was in there. I can attest to it. Pittsburgh minus 21.5 is the play. How are they going to – like, Central Michigan doesn't score. They didn't score last week. They barely moved the ball at all. I think they played San Jose, if I remember right. They scored like 16 points. Pittsburgh's going to score 50 on them. Pittsburgh scored 62 against Duquesne last week. Desmond Reed, Eli Holstein, they're going to score 50, which means Central Michigan would have to cover that number. Central Michigan would have to score 29. That is not happening. This is the easiest. In terms of a big number, this is the easiest lay-em spot of the week. It's just a lot of points. A three, like, they got to win by more than three scores. But Pitt minus 21.5 is a great play. Give me the Fighting Willie Simmons. FIU, I'm over the win total, plus 42 at Penn State. You mean to tell me at 45-7 I win? Penn State scored 44 against Nevada last week and would not have covered this number, okay? Penn State's not interested in covering a 6-touchdown spread. Are we freaking kidding? Yeah, we'll take 6 tutties. With the FIU Panthers there. Yeah, baby. Don't watch this game ever, but I will be monitoring. I got you a twofer in Kentucky Ole Miss. Give me Kentucky plus 9.5. It was 9.5 this morning. I'll take the points. The last time Ole Miss covered a double-digit spread against Kentucky was 2001.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
I was 12. They can't cover this against Kentucky. With that in mind, the best play is the under. Give me the under at 50.5. This was like at 53.5. There's no reason for it. Last year, the two teams combined for like 2 touchdowns. They were rubbing sticks together to find the end zone. It was a miracle when either team did it. It's going to be the same tomorrow. I can promise you that. After Ole Miss scored 3 times in the fourth quarter to wipe out whoever they played last week by 56. Elsewhere, give me 6.5 with Kansas. I'm not going to need them. Kansas is winning outright at Missouri, but I'm going to take 6.5. Worst case scenario, Missouri wins a 17-14 field goal game. There it is. Give me, you know what? We agree on two of these. Give me North Carolina minus 12.5. This is an overreaction to what we saw. I said this. This was Bill Belichick coached this like a pro coach. Well, we don't have the players today, so let's just get out of Dodge and not do any further damage. We don't want anybody getting hurt. There was no desire to keep this remotely close, and so because of the margin, they've been way downgraded. This is way too much. Charlotte did not look good in their opener against App State, and North Carolina, regardless, they have better players than App State. So, lay the 12.5. You mean to tell me that if North Carolina beats Charlotte 28-14, the locals are grumpy and they still cover? Yeah. Give me that one. I'm taking Army Kansas State over 46.5. Did you see Kansas State try to stop North Dakota last week? Holy Lord. Army gave up 1 million points and yards to Tarleton State, so Kansas State's going to score. Kansas State may not stop Army. So this game is going over. I rarely go over with service academies. I'm going over this.
I am worried about Army scoring in this one. Of your picks, this is the one I'd be maybe a little worried about.
I was hoping this would be low 40s. I'll admit, I was hoping it'd be like in the 42-ish range, but I'm still going to go with it, feeling a little frisky. Oklahoma -4.5. Brent Venables, 21-5 against freshman starting quarterbacks as a defensive coach, a defensive coordinator. And it's going to be 22-5. Unless Oklahoma wins by a field goal, we're going to be right on this. Give me the Vandy Virginia Tech under. This is why. Okay, this is where we're fighting. This is why I went there. Virginia Tech against a better offensive football team in South Carolina, we think, gave up 17 offensive points last week. Vandy is not going to score a touchdown on special teams, okay? Vandy is routinely scoring like 20 in games. 20-17 is 37, which is less than 47.5, which gets me to the under. That's how I'm doing this. That's about as confident as I'll get in this game. And then finally, you know, I almost fought you on Arizona State, Mississippi State, but I don't feel great about it. I still want to watch and wait a week. I do feel good about the defenses here. More specifically, I feel not so great about Mississippi State's offense, and I feel not great about Arizona State's offense. A little bit ugly last week. So I'm going under 59.5. Arizona State going east. Remember last year it was a barn burner. This was a close game. That's kind of why I was thinking about taking the points. It was early in the season. I think it was week 2 actually. Yet Mississippi State went out there and lost 30-23 in a game where they had the ball late with a chance to tie or win it. I expect that type of game. Like, it's going to be about a one score, maybe a 10-point game. But I think it's going to be lower scoring than people think, because I think the cowbells, if you've never been in that environment, it's a little intimidating. Like, it's a different level of noise and kind of noise than you expect.
Have you seen them practicing with the cowbells in the intercom system?
They're trying.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
They're doing their best. I would hate to work there. Imagine if you're a non-coach or player, and you just have to do your normal job just listening to that all day. Those are my picks, folks.
Quark, what do you need to see tomorrow in Death Valley?
I need to see a pancake. I need to see like an absolute beatdown. I need to see a relentlessness from the defense regardless of opponent. Like, I want no mercy for Troy defensively. That's what I want to see first. Because remember, there were a couple of late touchdowns against App State last year that made you feel a little about the defense. It was a 46-point win, so everybody was okay, but you gave up 20 points.
Let's wrap up.
Yeah, I would love that. I thought you were talking about this. I was like, oh, are we
and
late? Oh, my God. So that's number one. Number two, I know people want to run the ball. I think that goes without saying. I want to see Kay just look more comfortable. And he should look more comfortable, like they did against App State.